I should say also on the half-yearly meeting that the half-yearly meetings were not very much like our half-yearly meetings today.
Oh, good. But tell me the difference,
yeah. Well, they were, there was usually an hour's worship. When I came back to Manasquan in 1963, I was surprised to find there was no worship at all at half-yearly meeting at Plainfield. Well, I mean, they may pause for 3 or 4 minutes or something, but I mean, that hour of worship was a very important thing. And I think it's different right now. I think we've had pretty good meetings for worship at half-yearly meeting lately.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they tend to shrink if there's nothing going on in them. And I think that's why Manasquan shrunk to a 20-minute meeting at one time. But there was another meeting here, not far from Morristown here, that had shrunk down to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And really it just becomes a kind of curtain riser for the Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have any real importance at all. And, Well, there was an hour's worship. There were special queries for ministers, for ministry and council, which were considered. They were read, then silence, then discussion, and then the advices. And then for the quarterly meeting, for the half-yearly meeting itself, they would read the queries in the same way. They were read, they were... There was to be silence, then there'd be discussion. People would speak to it. And when it came time for the reading of the queries and answering of the queries, reading of queries was nothing. It was answering of queries, which was the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a real response. Even Edward Borden, I remember, who was a very taciturn kind of person, he would just speak to the queries if he thought it was necessary. And then digest of the reports that had come from the two meetings to the half-yearly meeting on the basis of the questions asked in the query. The report would be, are we fulfilling what the query is querying after? Are we doing it?
Yeah.
And, this impressed me very much as a child, and I felt that the people took it very seriously. And this is our way of disciplining ourselves. They seem to be aware of this, that without the queries and without answering them, then you're at the mercy of some bishop or bureaucrat or, someone who is imposing authority on you, and this way of discipline yourself, which seemed to me to be a wonderful system, and it's been a great a sadness to me that this is almost entirely gone out of existence. We still have the queries, but we don't make our reports of the state of society on the basis of the queries. We're not required to. And at the half-yearly meeting, we really don't consider them deeply at all. But I felt it was a religious exercise. It wasn't a formal thing. They were really asking, are we doing it? So the children always had a very grand time. Of course, we had something that children now don't have. We had horse sheds. And horse sheds, you'd be amazed at the number of things that can be done to amuse children with horse sheds, and we were in and out of the cars and the carriages and buses and things that would be out there, and of course at Manasquan there'd be trips to the beach also, but my mother and I stayed always overnight. And it was more the custom then for others to do it too. But it very soon, because the motor car ceased to be a tradition. My father never had a car, and we never had a car till my father died. My mother and I were living, and I was in the automobile business. I felt that I really had to have a car in those circumstances. So we got to into the families of these Plainfield friends, Ella and Richard Williams, who had a very beautiful home. And Richard Williams was clerk of the yearly meeting of the representative meeting of the yearly meeting. And they always gave us most wonderful hospitality. Also, we stayed with Mercy and Charles Vale. Mostly those two families we stayed with in Plainfield, and now this is just the faintest recollection of this. They still sometimes ask, does anybody want hospitality, but it's very seldom. And of course at Manasquan, the tradition of entertaining has become pretty nearly down to the minimum, I'd say. So we really don't have it. But this was a very important thing. At Manasquan, the Reynolds family rather took over the catering job. And everybody was fed at their home, that is, at the farm. And that's why you see in the photographs, they're all assembled at the farm. Well, they're there because that's where the food was. Now, if we had to have lunch in between sessions, it was passed around in the seats. That is, you had a box lunch or cold lunch of some kind. It was passed around. People sat in the benches. There was no other place, and that was it. And it worked all. It worked pretty well. But it wouldn't work as well today, I think, because we have more people involved. We have five meetings and a quarterly meeting and so on.
In other words, the half yearly meetings now are larger than they were when more people?
Well, there's a tricky situation here. I think they're larger when it comes to sitting down to dinner. When it comes to gathering for the session of the half-yearly meeting, it's a different personnel.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a reason for this, I think. There's a lot of people in families that are not involved in the meeting, but are involved meeting three times a day, and they're the ones that turn up in the dining room. But we don't have as many Our half-yearly meeting sessions at Manasquan haven't been large, except for the evening where there's a program for the general public. And I wouldn't say they were much larger now, in spite of the fact we have so many more meetings. We have three more meetings than we used to. However, New Brunswick meeting is known to be not a half-yearly meeting. It has been known to be not favoring the continuation of half-yearly meeting. And this will naturally discourage attendance, I think. If you don't believe it ought to exist, you don't knock yourself out to get there. If we get into the contemporary scene, everything is problematic, but what I've been talking about is just things that are stored in my memory about how things have been.
In a sense, then the business basically was conducted on an anti-half-yearly meeting, but it also involved a great deal of personal contact, so that it was almost half social and half business.
Yes. It was very social, very social.
Yeah. Was this different from the other friends' meeting? You said they came here because they had such a good time.
Yeah.
In other words, was the spirit at these two, Plainfield and Manasquan, half-yearly
Well, you see, until after I was well grown, after I was over 30, I didn't have much criteria to make a judgment about this. There have been well, the quarterly meeting has shrunk in Philadelphia too, and I know one old minister, and not so many years ago, was complaining that the quarterly meeting starts at 4, and then you have lunch, and then there's movies, and then you go home, and that's the end of it. That's all there is. That's mm-hmm. the whole thing. And so I don't... Sandy was asking me whether the social side of half-yearly meeting at Plainfield, Massillon was different from other quarterly meetings, and I just really don't know too much about that.
Okay, now you're going to put that one on the tape. The visit of that. I don't think he knows any of those. She said, "Put that on tape."
Yeah, you don't know anything about it. Oh, well, about the old meeting house, I don't know anything except what I've been told. But we have here a blue print of a photograph made by Merritt C. Morris, Sarah's uncle, mm-hmm. and it's
well,
a.
Married by his
and. He is apparently showing a group of Orthodox friends from Philadelphia, including your mother, I guess, Ethel Potsman?
No.
Edward Potsman?
No, I don't know who those are.
No, somebody named Potsman.
Martha Morris was his mother. And Beulah Rhodes Morris was his aunt, Allison Morris'
yes.
sister.
His mother and aunt.
And Beulah Rhodes Morris lived in Haddonfield.
Yes.
And it's her house that was made into the Estor. And it's the Estor money we're living on here.
In this picture, Beulah Rhodes is shown wearing a bonnet and a modified Quaker costume, which sounds reasonable from what we know of Squan meeting. I didn't mention in this account Squan preparative meeting.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Now this is an ideal job for George Lefebvre. And he was clerk of it. And it was a kind of paper thing. It didn't function much. I don't think it met more than once or twice a year. And I remember I was instrumental in getting it laid down because it was non-functional. I mean, we only had one congregation, so what's the use of having a monthly meeting and a preparative meeting? But Squan preparative meeting was a very old established thing. And
where was it for the tape? Where was it?
Where?
What?
Well, Squan preparative meeting consisted of Manasquan meeting, and the congregation of Manasquan, and well, it was prepared a meeting to Shrewsbury and Manasquan monthly meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it exists in the first place, is because Manasquan and Shrewsbury were one monthly meeting, and I never heard of a Shrewsbury prepared a meeting. But this kind of irregularity takes place. I mean, theoretically, there should have been, but I never heard of any. But Manasquan, well, the purpose of the Squan preparator meeting was the Squan burying ground and things like that. Now, under Squan preparator meeting would come Squankum meeting and its burying ground.
Mm-hmm.
But well, this is so far back in the myth and history, and that I don't know much about the Squankum end of it.
A Manasquan preparative meeting was not the holder of the property, as it is in Germantown. Germantown preparative meeting owns the property and therefore has to meet once a year.
Well, questions like that I don't think I'm prepared to answer, but they may have owned some property as far as I know, but they had a sense of identity that Shrewsbury wasn't looking after their property, and the swamp at Parliament meeting was the place where it was done. But when they were their own monthly meeting, that is, when there only one congregation was menaced upon, there was really no need for this. So
they didn't ask for a Shrewsbury meeting?